InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Lights out, ladies and gentlemen, lights out. The curfew is going into place. Incremental martial law. But in a true authoritarian state, we don't tell you it's martial law. We just tell you we'll lock you up for 6 months unless you've got the proper pass to be out after dark. And then, at 9 o'clock every night, lights out, lights out, lights out. Conserve energy here in the fatherland, here in the homeland. They've announced in Europe last week that they're going to order Netflix and YouTube and Google and others to only put out less than HD because it might hurt the bandwidth of others. That's just a test of power. And now they're announcing here in the United States, don't play video games during peak times in the morning or the afternoon or night. Other people need their internet while they're locked up in their houses, video gamers. You're bad as well. The state is going to tell you what you can do. You know, you read about martial law and tyranny in Ceausescu's Romania, where they told people lights out at 9 o'clock at night. And then a few years later, he just took electricity away from them altogether and said, you get it 2 hours a day if you behave yourselves. It's all about power and all about control. But in the central city of the Romanian dictator's palace, it was lit up like a Christmas tree. And he'd stare down when the sun set at night and everything was darkness. And the people in the communist country didn't even have money for candles. And if they saw light coming from your house at night, you might get a, why do you have a light? You're not allowed to. Seriously, look up the history books. And so you're all learning right now, aren't you? Trump, 7 weeks ago, did not want to have the big crackdown, said everything was okay. The media said that he was bad and going to make it worse. Then he said, okay, I'll block Chinese flights. He was bad then, even though the left now is saying he hasn't done enough. I got a call from a TxDOT source today, and someone well-known to me, and he was saying that they've been told that they're going to start having nighttime curfews. I know other states have been announcing those, but Governor Abbott said that 200-plus Texas counties, we have so many counties here, the most of any state, big state, second largest state in the country after Alaska, that is geographically the amount of square miles, that he wants the big cities like Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin to lock down and shelter in place, but not the rest of the state until there's cases there. So I guess he isn't around to that yet. Senator Rand Paul has tested positive for the virus, is feeling fine. And so we're going to be laying all of this out and more. And step aside Bernie Sanders with the guaranteed personal income and all the rest of it, all the free money that leaves us Zimbabwe and Weimar Republic, inflation. Trump first was going to have $1 trillion stimulus 5 days ago and $2,000 per family. But the stock market plunge is so great with the media hysteria, he's now saying $4 trillion into the economy directly to big corporations and individuals. But, you know, the big corporations get the lion's share. And that $3,000 for a family of four. If that doesn't create inflation, I don't know what will. But the media and the Chi-Coms and the EU and everyone hyping up that it's the end of the world, do you want the depression to just absolutely be a certainty? I'll say this. We passed the point of fiscal responsibility a long time ago. They're devaluing currencies worldwide. There's now a race of devaluation. And all that matters is whose currency is left standing at the end. It's the last currency standing, the last man standing scenario, but we are in the new world order right now. And all these different factions of the globalists are pushing to set up a surveillance grid, legitimize the surveillance grid, get rid of cash, break up the family, forced inoculation, medical tyranny. The list goes on. And the Justice Department, it turns out, I looked into it, it's true. I don't just believe something because it's in Political or Rolling Stone. Quietly went to Congress and said, we want to suspend habeas corpus and access to the courts and have citizens disappear for a year, not just for corona, but for anything. Yes, dangerous times.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
And here we are, my friends, broadcasting worldwide with the biggest audiences we've ever had. And you know why? It's because everything we've talked about is happening just exactly as we laid it out. How do we do it? Well, I'll lay it out today and tell you what's coming next if the globalists continue on their path. You know, if I was a person and found a sea captain's chart planning his next voyage across the ocean that he, say, left at a bar or left at a library, and I looked at it, I would know his next mission that he was getting ready for the next week. And if I wanted to get a ship and follow him, I would know where he was going. That's how I knew all this. Because the globalists are very arrogant. And they're in our face and think we're stupid and think we won't actually read their white papers and battle plans and what the Council on Foreign Relations of the UN, the IMF, and World Bank say. But I do read what they say. 5 years ago at Davos, up on a mountaintop in Switzerland, the public Bilderberg group, Davos group, met, and the headlines were World Technocrats to Rule the Planet. New World Order, World Government to Replace National Governments. Technocrats who are unelected will soon control the planet using economic crises, migrant flows, and wait for it, a disease X outbreak, probably a respiratory disease, probably out of China. Those criminals love to brag, the globalists up there, the George Soroses, the Herman Van Rompuy. All of them. They love the head of the EU and all of them to get up there and just tell you what they're going to do years later. So then about a year and a half ago, UN says disease X coming. It's going to come out of China, probably respiratory, probably coronavirus. It's going to kill 65 to 100 million people worldwide, and you will accept world government out of it. And then in November, 5 months ago, Bill Gates came out and had his tabletop exercise, 201, where 65 million die from a coronavirus, event 201. And he had a vaccine ingredient. I mean, it's ready. The coded virus of COVID-19, the Chi-Com attack weapon. And they incubated it in China, and they had the big freak out, and it's been scanned by major universities. It's man-made. And we first told you that 8 weeks ago, and now you see the communist Chinese are saying on their official national TV that it's Trump's fault, ladies and gentlemen. That it's all President Trump's fault. And that the U.S. government launched it. And the media is actually trying to agree with it. But when I said it was the Chi-Coms and the globalist deep state, oh, I was bad. That's just crazy that Jones is saying that. Go back 8 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. There's all these London Guardian and New York Times and others have articles saying this evil Jones is saying it's man-made with no evidence. Oh, no, just major universities in the United States, in Europe, in India, scanning it. And the author of the U.S. biological weapons law, then became world law, Dr. Francis Boyle. And all these people are saying the same thing. But I'm just up here, you know, 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, telling you this before anybody else. And it's not about me sitting up here saying, oh, look, I told you over and over again. It's about understanding the reality of what we're facing. Whether this virus kills 200,000 people or 30,000 people, we're told 4,000 died in China. Over 4,000 have now died in Italy. We're told it peaked in China. The flu kills 35,000 every year in the U.S. alone. Why are we panicking then? Because it's the response and the hysteria and the lockdowns that are already causing us to go into a depression. And now Trump is saying 4 or 5 days ago, they're going to inject $1 trillion into the economy and give each family $2,000. Now it's $4 trillion, and it's $3,000 per family. Will that stop the stock market sliding tomorrow? Is there no end to what we've gotten into? You watch the press briefings, and the press is frothing like pit bulls starving to death, trying to snap at the president like he's a giant side of beef that's been rotisseried on a spit. And you did a terrible job. China's done a great job. You're a horrible person. You need to declare martial law. You need to do more. Knowing that'll tank the economy. The Chinese PSYOP weapon cripples U.S. economy. Panic Trump injects $4 trillion to the U.S., they say, in the next 90 days. And the media that said Xi Jinping did a wonderful job lines up against our president and our country because they're enemies of the nation who hate the country's existence and who said they wanted to see the president and America fail because they're globalists. And the fact that they even operate and the fact that their sponsors operate. Imagine if I was on air saying, I hate America. I want a depression. The president's terrible. Xi Jinping is good. Washington Post headlines. Xi Jinping should crush Trump and save the world. How have we gotten into a position like this? Well, we've tolerated people that are absolutely against this nation and that are scum of the earth. Now, let's start getting into the clips, and I'll tell you about all the big guests we've got today and so much more. But here's DHS chief, nationwide lockdown, not under consideration. Well, I'll tell you why it's not under consideration in a moment, but here is that clip.
So let's get to the very latest. The U.S. closing its border with Mexico, closing the Canadian border effective this weekend. Is the president considering a full shutdown of the country for a period of time, sir?
Not at this time. The president, again, through the vice president and the task force, has been very aggressive and very forward-leaning and providing a number of guidance, a number of information to the American public. We have the 15 days to slow the spread. So there's a number of measures that we're asking the American public to take. You will see that there's been a number of governors, particularly in New York and California, that have taken the extra step and imposed some additional strict measures. And we certainly agree with those measures. There's going to be certain communities that have widespread community transmission that need to take more aggressive measures than perhaps other communities. So again, we're working with them. We're working with the state and local and the governors to do that. And we continue to encourage them to take those aggressive measures.
Now, as I predicted 7 weeks ago, they're going to say Trump didn't respond enough. I said he should respond with rhetoric, but also with funding for whoever is actually sick or for mask. But that it's his role as a federal executive leader to not take over the states, but to give them aid and to help coordinate, but it's up to the governors of the states. Trump is right. But see, de Blasio and Rachel Maddow and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, they know that their constituents don't know the three branches of government and don't know the federal system and how our law and countries operates. So they're saying Trump isn't lifting a finger. Not lifting a finger. $4 trillion over the top, massive aid to the states, that is not lifting a finger. Here it is.
I feel like we should inoculate ourselves against the harmful impact of these ongoing false promises and false statements by the president by recognizing that when he is talking about the coronavirus epidemic, more often than not, he is lying. Even when he's talking about what he has done or what he will do, he is consistently lying and giving you happy talk that is stuff that the federal government isn't actually doing. And it's making people around the country count on the fact that the federal government is doing that stuff when they're not. I mean, there may be other people in the federal government who are saying things that are true, but these daily briefings from the White House are a litany of things from the president that would be awesome if they were true, if they were happening, but they're not. And so the sooner we come to terms with that, I think the better for all of us. If it were up to me, and it's not, I would stop putting those briefings on live TV. Not out of spite, but because it's misinformation.
So there you go. She wants to censor the press and censor the president. And when we come back, we've got the clip of the governor and other Democrats and the mayor of New York coming after the president saying he's not lifted a finger. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
are back on this live, incredibly important Sunday transmission, March 22nd, 2020. 225, 225 days out from the election. Okay. We have Norm Pattiz, constitutional lawyer, scheduled to join us next segment. He first talked about on the air a week ago that the Federalist Society has been meeting with Trump and the Justice Department and others are wanting the president to basically declare martial law, interstate travel bans. That's now in Politico and in Rolling Stone over the weekend. And so we're going to be going over some of that. DOJ wants to suspend certain constitutional rights during coronavirus emergency like habeas corpus. So we're going to talk to him about that. And then Robert Barnes, another constitutional lawyer, both very prominent individuals, very smart, will be popping in next hour. We have a special report we're going to premiere about the nature of evil in the bottom of the rabbit hole in the final segment tonight. But there is so much I want to get to right now. Look, I understand why the president's doing this because of the hysteria. He tried to tap it down 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But the Democrats said, oh, you're not caring about people that are going to die, knowing the virus would come here, knowing it would kill some people, mainly the very old and sick. And so Trump then said, okay, states, under the Constitution, you do it. We'll give you the funding and support. That's not enough. $1 trillion. And $2,000 per family. That's not enough. $4 trillion, he's announced. And $3,000 per family. That's not enough. And I want to play this de Blasio clip where he's saying Trump has not lifted a finger. Well, this is beyond anything Bernie Sanders ever said he'd do with free money. This will devalue the dollar. And this will cause inflation. Now, I understand we're going into a depression that lowers prices, but it can easily get out of control. Now, I understand desperate measures, if somebody's dying on the operating table, you give them a shot of adrenaline. Might make them have a heart attack, but they're going to die if you don't. So might as well try it. It's like a defibrillator. You know, make somebody have a heart attack when their heart restarts, but you don't have a choice. So this is crazy times right now, folks. And Trump doesn't want stock buybacks to big companies like when Obama did bailouts that were much smaller than this, that the companies would then take the money and buy their stock back. I mean, Trump said, I want it going to the workers. I want it going to the economy. And he'll make sure that happens. I mean, he does what he says he'll do. So they're going to have bailouts. Wow, why not have one actually the people? But it's the left and the globalist exacerbating all of this as much as they can. So here's de Blasio and what he had to say, the New York mayor.
Chuck, the truth is, and New Yorkers and all Americans deserve the blunt truth, it's only getting worse. And in fact, April and May are going to be a lot worse. Right now, we are a third of the cases in the country. That's going to get worse. We're about two-thirds or more of the cases in New York State. That's going to get worse. But Chuck, the President of the United States is from New York City, and he will not lift a finger to help his hometown. And I don't get it. I don't get it. Right now, I have asked repeatedly for the military to be mobilized, for the Defense Production Act to be used to its fullest, to get us things like ventilators so people who can live who would die otherwise. Chuck, I can't be blunt enough. If the president doesn't act, people will die who could have lived otherwise.
What is it
that
you want?
Senior citizens, folks who are members of families,
right.
And we can't get action from the President of the United States.
What is it that you want the military to do immediately? What would it be a specific thing you'd want the military to do immediately?
Chuck, the military has extraordinary medical capacity of its own that's been honed in fighting wars. They can handle any situation. All military personnel who are medically trained should be sent to places where this crisis is deep, like New York. Right now, the military is the best logistical organization in the nation. If there are ventilators being produced anywhere in the country, we need to get them to New York, not weeks from now or months from now, in the next 10 days. And the only force in America that can do that is the military. Why are they at their bases? Right. Why are they not being allowed to serve? I guarantee you they're ready to serve, but the president has to give the order.
Now, 2 days ago, we showed you video of the military, thousands of troops and medical corps rolling into New York, more rolled in yesterday and today, and they took over hotels, sports stadiums, and are setting up ventilators and beds. They were ordered 2 weeks ago. Trump gave a speech in the middle of the week talking about the Defense Mobilization Act and ordering companies to do it. But he said, I've met with all of them, and they're doing it without me ordering them. And I'm not going to put the military inside their facilities and order them. They've already agreed. But see, de Blasio knows the public, especially in New York, I'm sorry, its constituents, don't pay attention. So he just says, Trump hasn't lifted a finger. We want the military. Meanwhile, the military's rolled in to Texas, Ohio, New Jersey, California, New York, Florida, Michigan, Illinois, everywhere. And the National Guard's been called up. And again, it's the level of Democrats lying. If you're a TV viewer, you see us putting AP, Reuters, New York TV, everything. The troops were rolling into D.C. and Maryland and New York Friday. We played some of the first videos here. Yeah, there it is. That's for Friday. Deploys to FedEx Center, Maryland. Deploys to D.C. Deploys to New York Friday. De Blasio goes on the Sunday morning show. 2 days later, his office knew the Army was there. He's the mayor. And says, we need the Army here. They just commandeered a bunch of facilities. And he's lying about that. These people are bold, man. That's all I can tell you. And again, there are going to be ventilator shortages if it's as bad as they're saying, regardless. And they're going to have trouble shipping them around. And then when they get people bitching about it, because everything just doesn't work perfectly in the universe. See, Venezuela doesn't have any health care. Cuba doesn't have any basic health care. They got more doctors than any country in the world per capita. But see, de Blasio wants to tell people that there's a magic leprechaun that craps out gold and fuel and food and ventilators. And the president's got all of these companies there that build this stuff saying, you've switched over production. I've seen the press conferences. You're on it. The masks, the ventilators, great job. And they go, you haven't done your job, Trump. So that he'll go ahead and declare that because they just want to be able to tell him what to do. When they couldn't get the economy out of recession, but they're the Democrats that celebrated and said, we hope there's a recession or depression. It's worth it. CNN, MSNBC, HBO, Bill Maher. I'm not going to play those clips again and subject you to it. You all heard it. And now you understand what's happening as good as I do or better. But Democrats don't because they're helpless, mindless, childlike idiots. They could be black. They could be white. They could be old. They could be young. They could be Hispanic. They could be gay. They could be straight. But what they are is dumb followers that believe people like Hillary and de Blasio and Governor Cuomo. Trump's been saying for a week, oh, Cuomo, you've done so great. You've done so good. Cuomo gets up. I've got that clip and says, quite frankly, Trump hasn't done a good job. Pushing him to federalize these responses when Trump knows you give the federal aid, they back up the locals. That's the Constitution. Or it's basically federal martial law. They want to trick him into taking over the situation so everything can be blamed on him. They want to pass the buck and say he hasn't lifted a finger when he's done a great job. Trying to stop the hysteria that they hype up and say they want. They're publicly betting against America, hoping this crashes things. They're getting success now and think we're so dumb, they're going to blame conservatives and Christians and gun owners and everybody else. Oh, and they're coming for the guns, too. So much coming up on the other side, but we're going to get the truth out despite big tech censorship.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Jones, your host on this Sunday, March 22nd transmission. Thank you for joining us. Remember, we're trying to censor and block patriot, populist, pro-America, pro-freedom, pro-constitution, capitalist media. But when you spread the word about Infowars.com/show and band.video, and you spread the word about the local stations that carry our broadcast, it overrides that. And our audience that tunes into our actual servers and systems is triple what it's ever been right now because people know we predicted all of it and they're spreading the word. So I salute you all. We are defeating the globalist and their propaganda despite overwhelming odds because we have the truth and we have God on our sides and we have will. We're the doers. We're the people that actually take action. All the little jellyfish and their masters know it. All right. I've got a stack of news here that I'm going to be getting to at the start of the next hour. Where AP, Reuters, the New York Times, they have articles saying The FDA has not approved for the coronavirus what President Trump's talking up, this malaria drug chloroquine, which pushes zinc into the cells. And they're even saying he should be quiet when the European governments have come out and said it's worked really, really well. When China had a lot of success with it, when it's known to be antiviral in general, because zinc is antiviral. And if it can push that in, well, then there you go. So Trump wrongly claims FDA-approved drug, chloroquine, to treat the coronavirus. That's CNN, folks, criticizing the president when the EU is using this massively, having big success. It's approved for malaria 60 years ago, 70 years. It's an old drug, very inexpensive. Bayer donates 2 million bottles of it to the U.S. government. And the Democrats are fighting to make sure you don't learn about it or you don't get it. I mean, they're just evil. And saying he shouldn't be allowed to stand up there with all those doctors and talk about a promising drug. Again, that's the FDA. That's the bureaucrats. That's the Democrats. You, the president, shut up. We played it earlier. What did Maddow say? He shouldn't be. No one should carry his press conferences. The president. She's the authority. First ban Alex Jones. Now let's silence him. Don't cover him. He's bad. He's going to hurt people. He said chloroquine is saving a lot of people. A month ago, China was reporting that. A month ago, Europe. Europe's all over. Hey, it's really working on almost everybody. Man, it's amazing. And also something's happening. You watch all these different news channels and you see nothing about zinc. Nothing on the national news, nothing in print media. There's a big famous virologist came out and told his family, take zinc. And then the media got the letter they found on Facebook that family republished. It was a private letter. And they all attacked the guy and tried to get him to say it doesn't help. And he goes, no, it's well known in hundreds of studies. Again, there's no cure for anything in the world. There are treatments for things, but see, they don't want you to know zinc is antiviral. They don't want you to know that if you take zinc in all these big studies, you're 90%+, you know, lower level of getting all these different cancers. They want you to know about chemotherapy, bug poison you pay $1,000 per treatment for. It costs them 30 cents. Think about how sick that is. They won't tell you about zinc. They won't tell you about any of this, but I know a medical doctor who's gone and prescribed himself chloroquine, but he says that's only if he starts to get sick and is found to have it, because he said all it does is push zinc in, and what's he doing? He's just taking 30 milligrams of zinc a day, about three times the daily allowance. You die without zinc, folks. By the way, I noticed on Thursday, I'm like, why is Real Red Pill and Real Red Pill Plus, our multivitamin mineral with pregnenolone, find out why this is so special. I said, why is it in the bestseller list? And they said, well, people are selling out of zinc everywhere. And I'm, oh, yeah, zinc. Sold out of stores all over the country. Our multivitamin has a big, nice dose of it. It works with all the other vitamins and minerals synergistically for your body and your cells as well. Is it a treatment? Is it a cure? Is it a silver bullet? No, ladies and gentlemen, no. Zinc is bad and evil. No, I'm being sarcastic. No, it's not a silver bullet. It's not a panacea. That's actually what that microbiologist said, the famous guy, he said to his family, zinc isn't a silver bullet. But he said they can't go into the cells as easy and order the mitochondria to mass produce the viruses. And it coats the cell. So again, they don't want you to know that. Well, we have our multivitamin mineral with pregnenolone. This is for adults because it has the pregnenolone. And we have the Real Red Pill Plus that has natural, healthy, you know, organic stimulant in it from different types of a naturally occurring caffeine. And this is going to sell out in 3 weeks at the current rate of sales. But that was being sold at full price. I said, since everybody's getting it, I want to sell it at 50% off. So we will sell out of this in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Real Red Pill, Real Red Pill Plus. Real Red Pill's a red pill. The Real Red Pill Plus is a red pill in a green background. It's got the voomp, hoomph to it. You truck drivers or folks. And that's how we also fund this operation. It's great products like that. We have the Super Silver Wound Gel that is topical. This is private label. This is sold in stores everywhere. This is FDA approved this company to sell this over the counter. We have it private label. It's American biotech company, and it's a very strong, not for ingestion, silver topical. Hospitals also use this that creates a shield on your hands. So everybody's into hand sanitizer. Alcohol goes away in about 30 seconds. Nano silver, the Pentagon tested it, lasts for, well, if it's not wiped off the surface, weeks and weeks. But pretty much all day if you have this on your hands. So we've got it at InfoWarsStore.com, the strongest approved over-the-counter silver you can get. This is the super silver, the same nano silver that's in our super blue toothpaste, but at super blue toothpaste has a way, 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 way lower amount. Okay, you do not ingest this, ladies and gentlemen. This is for topical at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion, has zinc in it as well, but you need all those vitamins and all those minerals for your cells to operate in an optimal function. So it's all available, InfoWarsStore.com. This is a great way to get it into your children because it tastes great. Okay, let me now get back into what I was talking about. Mnuchin says that the U.S. government, in conjunction with the private Federal Reserve, is going to lend $4 trillion to businesses. And they go on to say in the report, and then forgive the loans. So free money if it goes to your employees. We've never had a bailout that actually goes to employees. We'll see if it happens. But here's what he had to say.
Let me just walk you through the highlights of the package, because the president is very determined to protect American workers. We've ordered a major part of the economy to shut down, and the president wants to protect them. So the first part are what I call small business retention loans. If you're a small business, you'll get 2 weeks of cash flow to pay your workers. You need to retain them. You'll also get some overhead. And if you do that, those loans will be forgiven. That's about half of our workforce. That will allow small businesses to keep people and make sure when we open the economy, they're up and running. The second part is direct deposits. The average direct deposit or check for a family of four will be approximately $3,000. This you can think of as a bridge for them to get through this quickly. The third component is enhanced unemployment insurance for people that are laid off due to the coronavirus. And the fourth component is a significant package working with the Federal Reserve. We'll have up to $4 trillion of liquidity that we can use to support the economy. And those are broad-based lending programs under Section 13.3. We can leverage our equity working with the Federal Reserve.
Wow. $4 trillion in loans to businesses to rescue the U.S. economy, Mnuchin says. Now, when I stayed at Trump Hotel and other ones, almost every time you're there, someone pulls a fire alarm at 2 a.m. That people harass Trump. They're ghost towns now. He's lost billions being under attack. And here's Trump admits coronavirus is hurting his family business. The question is he allowed to get a bailout, though? Because he's the president and this is the package? Here it is.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the economic front, there are reports that the coronavirus is really hurting your businesses, especially your hotels.
My businesses?
Yeah.
Sure.
So is that true? And can you speak to the financials?
Well, I wouldn't say it's thriving when you decide to close down your hotels and your businesses. No, I would say, but, you know, I'm very underlevered and everything, so that's good. But is it hurting my, yeah, it's hurting me and it's hurting Hilton and it's hurting all of
and
the
way,
hotel chains all over the
we
world.
We know why. It's. I just answered my own question. He's not going to get a bailout to his companies. They're going directly to the employees, so it's not going to matter. Ah, see how that works? We'll be right back with Key Intel.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host. We're here every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. I did a special 3-hour broadcast yesterday, 2 to 5. So much is happening, commercial free. And, of course, I have the weekday broadcast, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. You have David Knight before me here on the InfoWars Network, 8 a.m. Central, and Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m. with War Room. His co-host, Roger Stone, has his ongoing gag order, even after his fake conviction for lying to Congress by this corrupt judge. And you've got these massive pushes for no one to have free speech. This is all martial law implementation by stealth. Trump is leaving it to the states. And in New York and in California and other areas, they have declared what is basically a form of martial law, according to Black's Law Dictionary, Encyclopedia Britannica, Wikipedia, and Webster Encyclopedia, and dictionary definitions with constitutional lawyer Norm Pattis about to join us, but I wanted to just show you some of these headlines. DOJ wants to suspend certain constitutional rights during coronavirus emergency. Now, I don't just believe something when I see it in the New York Times or in Rolling Stone or in Politico. But I did some poking around and indeed found the links to reports that in one of the documents, the department proposes that Congress grant the attorney general power to ask the chief judge of any district court to pause court proceedings whenever the district court is fully or partially closed by virtue of any natural disaster, civil disobedience, or other emergency situation. Gotta love the, it's not act of God, a meteorite, or a flooded, dam. It's any other emergency situation. It goes on to keep you in jail for years without ever seeing a magistrate. So that's the end of habeas corpus, and it's very serious. That story's up on Infowars.com. So when the DHS chief says nationwide lockdown not under consideration, the president is going along with the states doing it. And he's doing that so they can't criticize him for not responding enough. Well, here, you just run it, which is constitutional. He just supports, but that's the federalist system. But U.S. Army enters New York on Friday to convert hotels and dorms to hospitals amid COVID-19 pandemic. Trump has directed major industries to produce more respirators and things like that and a mask, M95 mask. But you saw the mayor and also the governor of New York are saying Trump's not lifting a finger. They're just lying to the public. It's not about defending Trump, and I find it very disconcerting that the Attorney General, Bill Barr, is trying to push this through. But this is what they've been doing for a long time with the Patriot Act and the rest of it. And this is all a giant power grab. The big banks want to get rid of cash, track everything you do. The total surveillance grid. They have apps coming out to track where you are and make sure you social distance. China's the model. But the scariest thing so far is not just Rachel Maddow. It's all over the news. The Atlantic Monthly put it out. That's the establishment mouthpiece of the left. They said, we want no one to cover Trump's press conferences. He's not authorized to talk about medical issues. This is the cult of the FDA and all of it saying who can talk. They're saying he shouldn't say chloroquine in European studies. That's the government says that. It's really helping. It drives zinc into the cells. They're saying, oh, fact check. He's wrong. It's not good. It's bad. It's not FDA approved. You can't say this drug might help because the FDA hasn't approved. Now the president can't say. And now doctors are coming out saying, take zinc. And I've seen articles saying, don't you say that. Don't you give them hope. There is no hope. Really, just type in zinc antiviral and you'll just get hundreds of Harvard and Yale and John Hopkins and the Tokyo University and Cambridge. And just it's ridiculous. Zinc's amazing and it's cheap, but they won't tell you that. And now the president's the bad guy. We'll talk to Norm Pattis about this here for a few segments. Then Robert Barnes is joining us. He was on fire during the special transmission. A lot of stations didn't pick up because it was unannounced. He'll be with us coming up as well. But Rachel Maddow calls on networks to censor President Trump's coronavirus briefings as his approval climbs. The president shouldn't be heard from with a group of doctors behind him. He isn't allowed to have the FDA sanction him. Man, the bureaucracy is really too big for its britches. Here she is.
I feel like we should inoculate ourselves against the harmful impact of these ongoing false promises and false statements by the president by recognizing that when he is talking about the coronavirus epidemic, more often than not, he is lying. Even when he's talking about what he has done or what he will do, he is consistently lying.
Pause, please. Back it up 10 seconds. Like about how he is a Russian agent, Rand Paul is a Russian agent, Alex Jones is a Russian agent. Remember all that, Maddow? And we've got the documents. He's a Russian agent. Well, you're a globalist agent. That's proven. No, you're the liar. But we elected him. You aren't the one that silences him because you say he's a liar. Here is Maddow.
When he is talking about the coronavirus epidemic, more often than not, he is lying. Even when he's talking about what he has done or what he will do, he is consistently lying and giving you happy talk that is stuff that the federal government...
Where's the... Tell us the lies. Show them to us. Oh, you never do that. You just show big packages of gumballs. Every one of these gumballs is a lie, like we're 3 years old. He's happy talking, saying we've always gone through this. We're going to be tough. The only fear we have to fear is fear itself. Let's not crash the stock market. Let's make it through this together. And you don't want that because you want to crash the market to get rid of the recovery because you're a globalist agent. You chicken-necked witch. You Pez dispenser. Let's go back to him. Here it is.
Isn't actually doing. And it's making people around the country count on the fact that the federal government is doing that stuff when they're not. I mean, there may be other people in the federal government who are saying things that are true, but these daily briefings from the White House are a litany of things from the president that would be awesome if they were true, if they were happening, but they're not. And so the sooner we come to terms with that, I think the better for all of us. If it were up to me, and it's not, I would stop putting those briefings on live TV. Not out of spite, but because it's misinformation. If the president does end up saying anything true, you can run it as tape. But if he keeps lying like he has been every day on stuff this important, we should, all of us, should stop broadcasting it. Honestly, it's going to cost lives.
Well, that Pez dispenser is not a very good actress, is she? We're going to go to Norm Pattis here in just a moment for two segments. Then we've got the other gentleman joining us. But I want to play one more clip. This is Trump in a briefing on Friday. And this is where an NBC reporter is the same thing. People are panicking. They don't know what to do. We want you to help us freak out and drive the market down. Why won't you freak out and say we're all dead? Ah! That's the talking point by the same people that have all told you they hope the economy plunges to get rid of Trump and the populist movement. They're like buzzers circling over us in the desert, hoping we die. The Oasis is realizing they're all frauds and scammers and exposing them and never even supporting them or listening to them in any way. Here is the reporter being stood up to by Trumple.
What do you say the Americans were scared, though? I guess nearly 200 dead, 14,000 who were sick, millions, as you witnessed, who are scared right now. What do you say to Americans who are watching you right now who are scared?
I say that you're a terrible reporter. That's what I say. I think it's a very nasty question, and I think it's a very bad signal that you're putting out to the American people. The American people are looking for answers, and they're looking for hope. And you're doing sensationalism, and the same with NBC and Comcast. I call it Comcast. Let me just ask for whom you work. Let me just say something. That's really bad reporting. And you ought to get back to reporting instead of sensationalism. Let's see if it works. It might and it might not. I happen to feel good about it, but who knows? I've been right a lot. Let's see what happens, John.
Can I get back to the science and the logistics?
You've got to be ashamed of
yourself. The units that were ordered, are they for clinical trials?
Trump said in another press conference, we'll carry the start of it when he gets to the meat and potatoes. And we'll have that live feed on Infowars.com. But that's what this is. The talking point is Trump, the president, shouldn't be able to talk to the people. He should just sit there. Oh, Trump's going live right now. We'll go to Norm Pattis in a moment. Let's go to the president right now as we go out to break.
Before we begin, I want to mention we're working very hard, long, on getting a young group of people out of Peru. We've removed some, and the rest are being removed with the cooperation of the Peruvian government. And we're also dealing with Honduras on getting some people out that got caught up, and we are working on that very well, again, with the Honduran government's work, and they're working with us, so
again,
I appreciate
teams
that.
Monitoring all of this, if anything substantive comes out of this, any new announcements, we'll let you know, but the White House has said they're not going to declare a national lockdown because that's pretty much unconstitutional, and I agree with that. It's up to the states, but by fiat, it's still happening regardless. But there again, they want total clampdown that'll kill the economy, have a depression, and then he's smart. He's going, okay, you guys just do it. And then they go, no, you do it, you do it, you do it, because they know what it's already doing. Now we've got a $4 trillion bailout package aimed at the people. All right, Norm Pattis straight ahead. Then Bob Barnes is going to be popping in as well. I'll take a lot of calls on the weekday show tomorrow, but today we're going to look at all these pushes by the Justice Department for martial law.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Trump is doing some cheerleading right now for the economy, saying that once we're over this virus in a few months, that the economy will rocket back because of this big $4 trillion stimulus package. China's already saying that they've peaked and it's going down and they're back to usual. The left says 18 months, America's dead, depression, which they've been cheerleading for. What a group of criminals. But they're so arrogant, they just do it and think that you'll put up with it. Norm Pattis is a well-known constitutional and criminal lawyer. And we know they've been pushing the president for martial law. He hasn't done that federally yet. But we saw these really frightening articles in Politico and Rolling Stone that the Justice Department, and now this parts of this has been confirmed, because they've done this before, have been seeking the suspension of habeas corpus. I know most listeners understand this, but how big is it saying, we'll just arrest you and you'll never be seen again?
It's basically transforming the country into Guantanamo Bay, where we are all unclassified enemy combatants of the government. I mean, it's outrageous. Habeas corpus can be suspended in times of an invasion or insurrection, but not in response to a so-called national emergency. Now, whether coronavirus is or is not, it seems to be to me, I understand there's a difference of opinion about that. I worry about the precedent that we're setting, though. And here's what I think. I think the deeper story here is we are in the midst of what I will refer to as an algorithmic coup. What do I mean by that? We're turning everything over to big data, and we're being habituated to it. I'm in the Northeast, right next to New York City, about 80 miles out of New York, and the hospitals there are frantic. There are open discussions in the local media now about the need to ration. Not everyone is going to be able to get the care that they want. We're being habituated to being manipulated by data that we don't know. What are the standards then for determining where and whether a person is going to be treated? If Hospital X isn't going to treat a person over 70, should we know so that a 71-year-old can go to Hospital Y that may treat it?
Stop right there. I want you to reintroduce this. This is powerful. Algorithmic tyranny, algorithmic martial law, where the globalists and the think tanks and the bioethics boards program the computers, and then we're told, oh, and you know, even the courts now, it's all turn it over to big data, turn it over to however they extrapolate it. It's the new ruling class.
It truly is, because we don't know. The algorithms are proprietary or they're secret. We can't know because they'll panic us, but yet they decide our fate. And these are really just the same sort of phenomena as a social credit score in China. So let's suppose, Alex, your sources are right and the supply chains are deteriorating and only so much flour arrives in a community. Is it going to be first come, first serve, or are you going to get it depending on who you are? In our hospital emergency rooms to date, it has been first come, first serve. A rationing regime says no, and now we're presented with the very real possibility that a person's care might be stopped because somebody more deserving, more worthy walks in. Somebody has to make that determination about worthiness and desert. And that's what a rationing scheme does. Will they pass it off on big data and say, you know, we're going to do a calculation about a person's social utility to determine whether they get access to care? Well, then the next step is access to food. And in a situation of scarcity, well, I guess somebody has to decide. And then if you're going to do that, somebody has to impose the rule, because if you end up on the short end of the distribution stick, you may have something to say about it, and thus martial law.
So you're talking about like death panels or martial law for the elderly or the infirm. And this is what Bill Gates, the globalist, big tech say they're doing. This is what Davos 5 years ago said. We're setting up a worldwide technocracy where unelected bureaucrats program the planet.
I worry about that. You know, that we've talked before on your show, Shoshana Zuboff's Age of Surveillance Capitalism. I don't know what caused the virus. I know you have sources that tell you it's man-made and so forth. I'm not going to take a position on that. That's beyond my pay grade and skill. But I know that there is something that we're calling an emergency now, and there are a number of people who are sick and a number of people who are dying and who will die. I don't know whether we need to shut down the entire economy over that. You know, I've been looking carefully at the experience of Philadelphia and St. Louis with respect to the 1918 pandemic, the Spanish flu. Philadelphia didn't do anything, and its death rate spiked. But thereafter, there was almost total immunity among its population. In other words, the incidence of disease after 1918 approached zero. St. Louis.
Stay there. Let's come back and start over with this, because you're really a guy that gets into the numbers, and that's true. Now we're told we're going to have vaccines forcibly injected, digital tattoos to prove we've had the vaccines under the skin. Yes, implantable chips sewn into your skin. This is all happening. Thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the live Sunday worldwide transmission. The mayor of New York, the admitted communist, who's run the city in the ground, de Blasio, has come out and said Trump has not lifted a finger. He refuses to send the military to New York. He refuses to send respirators or gloves. All of it's a lie. I have all the articles, government reports. It's like saying Trump didn't wear a red tie at the press conference he's giving right now. And the Democrats are everywhere saying ban his press conferences. Don't let the president talk to you. These people are like beyond Kim Jong-un. They are unbelievable liars and authoritarians. And that's why Trump's approval rating's going straight up. These people exacerbated this. They hyped it up. And I'm talking to constitutional lawyer, national figure, highly respected Norm Pattis right now from Connecticut, where it's hysteria ridden. And he was just getting into numbers of the Spanish flu. He was just getting into numbers of what happened in 1918 and other big events, the spike and then straight down. And the idea of forced inoculations, the idea that Bill Gates wants digital chip where it's put as a tattoo into your skin, an invisible tattoo to prove you've had the shot or to be able to travel. This is a big algorithmic coup, as he was saying, an algorithmic big tech takeover modeled by the Chinese, but really run by the globalist. So get back into what you were just saying. Some stations don't carry that last 5 minutes and recap what you're saying, because should we sacrifice the whole economy when the Great Depression, 7 million starved to death, universities estimate, for something that might kill 100,000 people? And when shutting everything down, they admit will just make people get sick over a longer period of time. Let's talk about this situation. The only fear we have to fear, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, I used to think. But now we're just told to run for the hills. And if Trump tells us to be confident, he's the bad guy. Norm Pattis.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is an open discussion that I'm having with any number of people that I talk to around New England right now, because, you know, everything is shut down. Lawyers are permitted to go to work, but courts are closed. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do, you know, argue with one another and bill by the hour for it. But, you know, things are shut down. People are bracing. There are massive layoffs in Connecticut and other places around the country. And so here's a discussion that people have begun to have. Philadelphia in 1918, they were warned of the influenza was coming. They did nothing, had large public events. There is a large spike in deaths, and then thereafter, immunity was developed throughout the city of Philadelphia, and there were scarcely any cases for the next year and a half or so. St. Louis did what the country's doing right now. It locked down, it social distanced, and as the first wave of the flu hit, it was great. Their death rate was probably a third, and incident rate was far, no, their death rate was far lower than Philadelphia's. The incident rate was probably a third of Philadelphia's, but something odd happened. Rather than herd immunity being spread throughout the population, the influenza remained a large and discernible presence when it was dead in Philadelphia. And it actually peaked a little bit in the second year. It didn't go back to the same level. But so St. Louis embraced a short-term solution with long-term consequences. It flattened the curve, but at the cost of keeping the disease alive far longer. Philadelphia took the hit and went on and, you know, it didn't suffer the same sort of consequences. Open question here. Are we destroying the economy for sufficient cause? Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, you know, got on a press conference the other day and said, look, you know, if your people are going to be upset that I've shut everything down, if you want to blame somebody, make me accountable, hold me responsible. If all of this saves one life, it's worth it. Really? Are we going to crash the economy for one life, for 10,000 lives, for 100,000 lives? You begin to wonder who gains as a result of all of this.
Well, that's my next question. The very same media, I've got like 4 and 5 and 10 minute clips when I'm time to play. I played them already. But I've got MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, all of them saying we want to plunge the economy to hurt Trump and the American people 2 years ago, a year ago, and this year saying we hope this comes to America and really hurts things. And hurts Trump. I've got all the clips. I played it last week. What type of villain? If I said that, I would never show my face again. But they just do it, and then they don't. It's like, where is the culture saying you people are like super villains or something?
Well, they don't get deplatformed for that. Isn't that hate speech? You want to take the elected president and you want to wish harm on other people so that he'd be out of office? Where's the deplatforming effort there? The algorithmic coup is real. I don't know who benefits in the end. I'm not sure ordinary people do. But I think right now the game is on. You know, I mean, like, you want to talk about the Gates and the digital ID. You know, we've had national debates about national identification cards, let alone something implanted in the body. Now, I'm not sure that that can stand as a matter of law, but here's where I'm really worried. Look at the parallel between what we're hearing now and 9/11. In 9/11, we worried about a crackdown on civil liberties, and there was, and the Fourth Amendment was rolled back, and people began to use the following term: the Constitution is not a suicide pact. We have to give up some liberty for the sake of security. All right, that was chapter one. What's chapter two? Better give up more liberty for the sake of life. At the end, the motto of New Hampshire, live free or die, becomes a mockery because we're so scared to death we'll give up anything.
Norm, it does. And listen, freedom. The Democrats, when we had drug-resistant TB, kids coming in, putting school next to our kids, hundreds of thousands of cases, thousands of deaths, all these other horrible diseases, they don't care. They cover that up. But now something comes in that's killed a couple hundred people here, 4,000 in China, 4,500 in places like Italy. And, man, you think it's the end of the world. Okay, let's say it kills 200,000. Martial law and total lockdowns, I'm sorry. It will make the curve go longer, but they admit, even in documentaries on PBS, doctors admit it probably won't cut the number of dead. So again,
if you look at as the data grows and testing becomes more extensive, you see that about 89% of people have already recovered who had coronavirus have already recovered. But the number everybody wants to talk about is the increase in death. I'm not sure what the overall mortality rate is. It's worse, we're told, than the flu, but yet we don't really know because we're saying there hasn't been extensive testing. So the great
that's right. We never know how many people really have it. And I was told. People always think I work for the CIA. I don't work for the CIA, and they don't have all the answers either, but it's a huge government agency and other groups that it was here 6 months ago that probably half the public does have it. There's been secret testing, and that's why Democrats are telling people, oh, it's going to infect half the public, because it already did, and it's a low death rate.
Well, here's what I want to know. Where's Corona Joe Biden been lately? I mean, you know, the guy looks like the concierge for a high-end senior
show. Oh, by the way, you said this last week. I said it weeks ago. It's now election limbo as coronavirus outbreak upends U.S. primaries. AP, The Hill, Democrats grow nervous. They're talking about suspending the election now. And I mean, this is just, and it's the Democrats that pushed, and I'm not just defending Trump. If Trump does something wrong, I'll go after him. Hey, let's talk about this. What the hell is the Justice Department doing? I went and did research. It's coming out in Congress that they have approached Congress wanting to be able to secretly arrest and disappear people. Trump better not endorse this. I don't think he will, but this is scary as hell.
Here's the problem, Alex, though. It's hard to get into a court right now. You know, they're open for so-called emergency proceedings, but I don't know anybody who's had one yet. You know, my office, I've got a number of lawyers. We're trying to figure out how we're going to.
Well, that's another thing. The NICS system, I've talked to police officers, retired police, and others this weekend. From Florida and Texas, they can't buy guns right now. The NICS is down because they're saying, well, we can't have people in a group operating phones. Well, that's essential. So how do you have an emergency court where people gather to make you disappear, but you can't have a court? I mean, this is BS.
Well, it's crazy. In Connecticut, the governor himself, the executive branch, basically extended deadlines and said that speedy trial claims, constitutional claims for a speedy trial are suspended. That's not within the prerogative of the executive branch. That's a judicial function. So they're going to be separation of powers.
So this is the greatest threat ever to
them.
This is the greatest threat ever.
The courts are closed.
Yeah. This is the greatest threat ever. Do you agree to American freedom? A seismic so far capitulation to classic authoritarianism?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because we're scared to death, and on the calculation, how much liberty will you give up for survival? The answer is every single bit of it. I'll stay home and have my food delivered to me by drone.
Because it's every terrifying. Zombie movie begins this way, and people are really buying into it. And what did we produce 3 months ago? A little promo about Rabid. We've got the president countering de Blasio's lies as well when we come back. And we are also have Robert Barnes, constitutional lawyer. Norm Pattis, thank you so much. I'm Alex Jones.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
What a time to be alive. We saw the hysteria 8 weeks ago beginning in China. and the way the world worshipped it, the way the media lined up behind it. And now that same media says our country and our president's bad, and they hope it'll bring down the U.S. economy. I'm not going to play all those clips again. You've seen them. And now de Blasio says no militaries here, no respirators, no hospitals, days after it all rolls in. They're just lying on the Sunday news shows. Robert Barnes is a constitutional lawyer, famous national figure, criminal lawyer as well. And he's been on fire. We did a special live three-hour show yesterday. He joined me for, I'd like him to lay out and recap some of what he said there and get into the latest developments. But Barnes, we didn't choreograph this. I haven't talked to you since I talked to you yesterday live on air. I want your snapshot right now, thinking on your feet. What's really behind this? Because it's obviously choreographed. It's scripted. You can see the rollout in the 8 weeks. You can see them saying, we hope this destroys Trump. Because they talk on national TV like it's their own private show. It pretty much is. The viewership's so low. But the MSM, the globalists, the Chi-Coms are all coordinated against America. And Trump's got this balancing act. And I don't like giant stimulus packages. But if he doesn't, these are tailored to go to the people mainly. I believe Trump, he's done that so far. We're going to go into a total depression. I know you've laid out the numbers of what Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan are saying. How would you quantify the moment in history America is right now, and all these leftist governors and people setting the bar so low on the Constitution, demanding martial law and saying that Trump, while he says, oh, you're doing a great job, Cuomo says he's doing a horrible job. The mayor of New York says, you haven't lifted a finger, that you're not helping us at all. You're a liar. And the troops are pouring in, the respirators, it's all happening. They're on TV saying the sun isn't yellow. What in the hell is going on here in just your deepest level of understanding, just as a gestalt? What's happening?
So I think that the fear is that this actually, large parts of this are not planned. That's actually more problematic than the degree to which it all has been planned. So I think there's an aspect of it that is something that has been on the shelf of a lot of government and statists for a long time, which is they could use a pandemic to suspend constitutional liberties. It's always been a loophole in the system because courts have refused to enforce constitutional rights in the context of biological health, virus, pandemic kind of risks with great degree of disturbing regularity and frequency around the world, not just in the United States. So there's no question that they're using it as an opportunity and seizing it as an excuse to exercise extraordinary the government powers against individual civil liberties. As I was wrote about today, basically the Constitution has been quarantined in large parts of the country. You have no First Amendment right to publicly protest. You can't even get together in groups of two in some places, groups of five, groups of 10, anywhere, even in your own home, in some of these orders that are being issued by cities, counties, and states across the country. Not only that, you don't have a First Amendment right to freedom of religion anymore because you're no longer allowed to go to church. You're no longer even to have a church in your home because the old religious statement my mom brought me up on as to why we always had to go to church every Sunday was thou shalt not forsake the fellowship of thy fellow believers. Well, now the United States government, not the United States government, people within the United States, and particularly states and counties, are ordering you to forsake the fellowship of your fellow believers. You are not allowed to even go to church or form or associate.
That's right. We were always told worry about the federal government. Now it's Democrat blue cities and states demanding total martial law and attacking the president and lying about him.
And it's the most effective means of executing it in the United States. In the United States, the reason why public health is mostly at a local, county, and state level is because they're much closer to the action. Well, the flip side is also true. The converse is also true. Their ability to enforce something that is the equivalent of martial law is much more powerful and potent at the local, county, and state level. Though that didn't stop the governor of New York for first calling for the military to be involved daily in the state of New York. Secondly, for issuing an order that suspended almost all constitutional liberties in the state of New York, a stay-home order created that. And on top of all of that, you know, not only is he blaming things on Trump that really aren't adequate or accurate to blame him on, today he said the president should nationalize and the government take over the entire medical supply industry. That's a huge section of the country. Well, why stop there? They're not going to stop there. There's talks now of nationalizing other aspects of the economy, of just printing cash. There's no question people are in great pain and huge amounts of money need to go out to people. The problem is there's no real economy to support it because it's being shut down by the cities, counties, states, and by various governments around the world who are employing the same strategy. And while I think it's part of a common pattern or plan in the sense of let's see how much the government can get away with, how much power governments can seize anywhere in the world, I think a large part of it is being driven by—
Explain that because you're on fire right now. Zimbabwe, the average bum had trillions of dollars a decade ago when Zimbabwe was peaking in its collapse, but they couldn't go buy a piece of bread with it. So we could have all the money in the world. If they shut the real economy down, that money is worthless.
Exactly. That's what the current belief is amongst many financial elites is that they can print their way out of any problem. They learn this. They learn the wrong lessons from 2009. So it is like Zimbabwe, or as a friend of mine put it, if you writing a check could solve a problem without having a real economy to support the writing of that check, the USSR would still exist. It doesn't, because that can't suffice. And yet that is precisely the solution. Many of my friends, even on the political right and others, editor of Human Events, other people really appear to believe this. They really think that you can just print your way out of the problem. That you can, in fact, to give you an example, to show people how dangerous it's becoming. Today, for example, they have the futures trading on the Dow. Within 5 minutes, they reach their limit as to how much it's going to crash. We are now in a stock market that looks like October 1929. The only thing holding him up right now is the Fed infusing absurd amounts of cash. The Fed had originally committed to $50 billion a day in what's called the overnight markets. Most people don't know our entire economy is completely dependent upon these overnight markets that trade on Wall Street, because almost every company and government in the country is dependent on overnight cash. Well, what the Fed has done is they have gone in and committed to spend up to $1 trillion every day in that market just to hold it up. The talk is of the Fed basically buying up indirectly. They loan the money and they get it as collateral, but buying up basically and propping up every stock and bond in the country. And they're talking about spending four times more in 30 days than they did in the entire 2008 and 2009 scandal. They're talking about spending as much as the entire national debt is. That's the kind of amount they're going to print. Now, you look at these stimulus bills that Schumer is talking about. They're talking about giving people enough money as if it's their whole paycheck for 6 months. Well, the problem without a real economy, where's that coming from? That's just printing cash. In fact, how are they going to do it? By issuing debt on Wall Street. But how do they keep that debt manageable? They keep the interest rates
low. And by
the
way, as you know, Wall Street's now all individually following suit. Disney just issued $6 billion Friday of new debt, and people instantly bought it up. So now this is the beginning of the Weimar race. I predict within, 3 to 5 years that finally the mega bubble is going to pop. They could have had new industry, they could have built up industry, and they could have hopefully created new bubbles, new industries to keep this from imploding too bad. But I think now there's no way down the road that we don't see an absolute collapse. This is insane.
There's only one person who is resisting this at any level who can salvage and save us from this, and that's President Trump. If Trump reverses course within the next 30 days and puts an end to this, then he can save the country and save the economy and save the world. If he does not, remember, in the stock market, it only took about 3 months before the damage was irreversible.
I want to start over. When we come back, Robert Barnes is a smart guy, and I'm pretty smart as well. I'm going to ask the question and war game it. Can Trump turn it all around, or is the greatest depression imminent? Can Trump stop the greatest depression? We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I'm Alex Jones, your host here during this unfolding 1984 situation. Robert Barnes is a really good lawyer, but he's also really smart when it comes to politics in the world. He's very informed. I've done a lot of research. I know when somebody's informed. I respect his opinion. I wanted to ask him, because you heard me in the last segment, again, Alex Jones here back live. You just tuned in. Can Trump turn it around? I asked, can we avert a Weimar Republic or a Zimbabwe-style devaluation with them? Damned if you do, damned if they don't. Doesn't mega-stimulate, things implode. We're already a big bubble. If you do stimulate, though, then it just gets insane. It just kicks the can down the road. It makes it even worse in some ways. But who did this? The deep state, the Democrats. I'm not going to play the clips. We played the compilations probably 50 times. We played a new one last week of just new clips of Bill Maher going, yay, I hope this crushes it. The corona's going to get Trump, and CNN, MSNBC saying it. They're so villainous and so tone deaf. But is this a case of careful what you wish for? Because they prayed to their father, the devil, and I guess now they think they're getting their prayer, but it's not going the way they wanted. His approval rating's going up because he's acting like an adult. So is Pence. The troops they asked for are already in New York. They're already delivering respirators as if the feds can just snap their fingers and things happen. They've been able to so far. They're hoping it's so horrible. De Blasio's going, it's going to get worse week after week, month after month, and he hasn't responded. And it's his fault, smiling, looking like American Psycho. Looking, well, he looks like Brian Stelter. He looks like this guy. Document cam shot, please. I mean, look, remember this guy a few years ago was coming out saying, I'm full of it. There's no such thing as pedophiles. There's no such things as pedophile rings. Document cam shot, please. Remember all that? And I said, man, that Ars Technica guy, I'm not saying he's a pedophile, but he sure as hell looks like one. Got busted in a sting going to a woman he thought had toddlers he could have sex with. Well, look, take one look at that guy. Well, take one look at Brian Stelter or de Blasio when he's up there looking totally excited about, and it's going to get worse. It's like, what's his name? Beto O'Rourke. When he goes, go back to me real quick, please. He goes, for TV viewers, he goes, yeah, and a bunch of kids got killed. He goes, I mean, these people are crazy. And, of course, the Ars Technica guy, left-wing Ars Technica journalist, Dr. Pizza, nickname. They'll call themselves pizza this, pizza that. The FBI says it's a code word. Convicted of pedophile offense, trying to get a woman to bring her babies to him, little girls. So, it's the eyes, folks. It's the eyes, Chico. The eyes always have it. Always have a little wimp look. All right, I'm going to stop ranting, Barnes. We'll go to the next segment. I'm going to be nice now. Your message to the world, your message to the president, your message on the economy, recap that and what you think the president, as you said, the only person right now that might be able to turn this around.
Yeah, the president has to reverse course within 30 days or we may be sunk. And the reason for that and the basis for that is historical evidence. The nature of our current economy, the financial aspect of it. Our economy is entirely dependent on confidence and credit, and often overnight confidence and overnight credit in the Wall Street repo and other debt markets. And if those collapse, then with it comes capital access and consumer confidence, and with that comes the collapse of the economy itself. That was the script for 1929, and people need to remember what happened within short order. The not only was there a U.S. depression, there was a global depression, and that birthed Nazism, fascism, communism, World War II, the Cold War. And a decade of depression around the world. So those people who think you can just turn the engine of the economy back on like you just turn your car engine on do not understand the scope and scale of what's happening economically. In addition to that, the liberties that are being lost or endangered are extraordinary. Right now, your First Amendment right of political activity is being suspended. Your First Amendment right, you can't do a public protest. You can't do public association for political purposes. You can't do religious association for religious purposes. Your Second Amendment rights are being effectively suspended. New Jersey, California, New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania. These states that are imposing shutdown orders are excluding gun shops from those orders so that from being necessary businesses. So they're not letting them be exempt. What does that mean? It means you can't purchase a gun. And while you can't purchase a gun, we're seeing unique levels of release of prisoners. There's a judge in Montana talking about releasing prisoners, orders out of Philadelphia, New York, California, other places where they're going to start considering or already have.
Oh, thousands have been released in LA alone.
No, yeah, they're talking about releasing people from Rikers Island. Some of the most dangerous people in New York City. So you're talking about right
and
when
you're talking about locking us up if we are outside without our papers and not going to an approved place.
Exactly. So while you can't leave, and you can't protect yourself by purchasing a gun. The other thing that's happening is they're basically shutting down background check departments. So one of the longtime concerns was that background checks were just a guise, both for surveillance purposes, but also ultimately to use them as a pretext to deny people access to guns. Where you have state governments across the country in different places effectively shutting down, furloughing, or laying off or limiting the people who work in the background check department. So even in those places that don't have a shutdown order, you still can't go out and get a gun because you can't clear the background check because it's been inescapably delayed. And the FBI has played ball with this by saying they won't process a background check where the local government office isn't up and running. You have your Fourth Amendment rights being violated. They developed technology in Singapore that secretly and silently monitored everyone's their movements, who they were talking with, who they were interacting with, in the guise of monitoring the disease. There's talk about launching it here in the United States. It's been talked about in both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. That's how serious and substantial it is. That would be the end of your Fourth Amendment rights.
Absolutely. So what does Trump need to do to where they can't say he's not acting enough, even when he does act decisively, they lie and say he isn't? I think he needs to go after de Blasio because he's been being nice and saying, you're all doing a great job. And people like Cuomo and others are attacking him, lying about him as well. I think he needs to say, hey, guys, don't be political in this emergency. You need to stop it.
There's three steps that the president can take. First, do not do the ban on interstate travel and the 14-day quarantine order that his advisors and many of the people around him are trying to get him to do. Do not do that. Do not accelerate the problem. Do not pour gasoline on this economic fire that's going to bring arson to our economy. Second, start to reverse course in terms of the language used and some of the highlighted issues used, and use your success. Say, look, we've looked at the data. We did a temporary stall. In order to gather the data, we now know we do not face the degree of risk that everybody talked about. And we do know the economy will sink and tank if we continue on this path. So I'm reversing course, ordering businesses back up and going, ordering the economy back up and going. And then third, target all relief towards ordinary families. The Fed already has plenty of relief for Wall Street, so you don't need to worry about that. Whatever's going to happen there is going to happen there anyway. If the Fed can't stop it, no one else can stop it. Target money to getting real cash into real people's hands, because what's happened is their property, their business, their livelihood has been taken from them in contravention of the Due Process Clause and Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment, and they should be afforded direct remedy, and the people that should be taxed for it or have to pay for it ultimately are the Wall Street types and the rest who helped facilitate this in the first place and encouraged it and incentivized it by playing ball with deep state actors and others.
I was about to say it was Wall Street and big tech that all sent their people home on purpose and said this is a depression. So a lot of the top players wanted this to crash it, kick Trump out, then buy it all up like Rothschild did in 1815.
They've often used excuses like this to seize power in terms of those who have deep institutional power. And then I think some are just completely incompetent. They misread the situation badly. I mean, that's what I
tell people. We got to go to break. I want to come back and I'm going to give you the floor, whatever topics you want to get into surrounding this instead of me asking questions. But boy, do I agree with you. And I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, with a regular 4-hour Alex Jones show, David Knight, 8 a.m. before me. Please don't forget. Zinc, 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 zinc. It's sold out pretty much everywhere in stores. And we happen to have it in our great multivitamin, multi-mineral that has the pregnenolone as well. It's for adults, and that's because it has the pregnenolone, and it has a big dose of zinc with all the other vitamins and minerals, and they all work synergistically together. But zinc is so good to boost your overall defense. Look it up for yourself. There's nothing better out there, but you need to take it before you come in contact with these type of things. Also, we have Real Red Pill Plus that has natural stimulant in it. Living Defense is back in. It's all 50% off right now when you talk about the Real Red Pill. So take advantage of that. We have turmeric. It's so good for your body as well. Body's back in stock, 40% off. And we have the 1-ounce Super Silver back in stock as well. And the Super Silver is coming back in, but not for about a month.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Global depression.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Let's track the global deaths. Mainland China, 3,261. Can't believe a damn thing they say. Italy, 5,476. Why is that? U.S., 409. Spain, 1,756. Germany, 93. Iran, 1,685. France, 674. South Korea, 104. Switzerland, 85. UK, 234. Netherlands, 180. Belgium, 75. Austria, 9. Norway, 7. Sweden, 21. It just goes on from there. Australia, 7. 35,000 a year on average die of flu in the United States. About 150 a day on average. And again, man-made virus, we looked at it. Really weird, the whole thing, all the crazy stuff out of China. Some of the videos were fake. Two people just lay down and start flopping, then stop. Come on, you know stage when you see it. Not saying the virus isn't killing people, but the way it's been hyped, the way the media seized on it, said we hope it brings down Trump, I don't think they knew it would drive up his approval rating because people would see right through it. Everybody I talk to, even liberals, are now against the Democrats because they saw them hoping this would hurt America. They see them fear-mongering. They see them acting villainously. So I wonder why the unified corporate chiefs that own the media are still telling their reporters to create hysteria. Do you agree that this is backfiring on them, Robert Barnes?
I mean, it has to a certain degree, but the problem is the hysteria is mostly working at the local, county, and state governmental level, and that's putting things into motion that are irreversible. And so the short-term gain the president is experiencing now will be long-term pain if he doesn't reverse course. And if anything, some of the initial polling reaction that the public had and liking the way he was reassuring people of taking action and the manner in which he was taking it won't matter if they don't have any means to pay their bills next week or a month or 2 months from now and the economy is completely tanked. And so that's, I think, the core issue he has. I think he's recognizing that, but I think he's the only one in the White House resisting calls for 14-day quarantines, resisting calls for shutdown of interstate travel, resisting calls to accelerate this shutdown that's happening across the globe. For example, what's interesting is look at the countries that are shutting down and the ones that are not. Those countries that do not need a pandemic to seize political power, or those countries that are outside of sort of the deep state, Five Eyes, Western world areas of control, none of them, for the most part, are doing anything like what is being done here by the various Democratic governors of shutting down the economy. The Singapore didn't shut down the economy. They didn't even shut down their schools. Hong Kong didn't shut down their economy. They shut down their protests thanks to China, but they didn't shut down their economy. Japan did not shut down their economy. South Korea did not shut down their economy. Russia, all they did was shut their borders for the most part. And because they have strict visa controls, they've had almost no pandemic problem at all.
That's right. This should repudiate globalism, but instead, the Democrats are still saying bring more people in, just lock everyone up in their houses. Borders stay open, but you're locked in your house.
It's and not only that, here's going to your point. The media has deliberately hyped this to create false information trails. So they should have been focused on the rising death count and whether that rate was declining over time in terms of whether it was exponential or actually flattening curve. But they haven't. Instead, they misled people into saying, geez, imagine if we had done this. We have discovered a disease that has a 10% for mortality rate and a 20% hospitalization rate amongst those who confirm we have a test for it. We better test everybody. And then all of a sudden they started testing everybody and it turned out there's almost 100 times more people that had that disease. It would create a crazy panic. Well, that describes the flu every single year. What they did is they took the confirmed test rate for the virus and said, oh, look, this virus is killing about 3% of the people who have confirmed test for it. And that's higher than the flu rate for those estimated to have the flu, which is an entirely different stat. If you looked at confirmed test rates, the flu death rate was much higher than this virus rate. But they didn't report that. So they deliberately chose data. And they're also using charts to make charts across countries look the same. And the way they do it is they frequently will change the number on the left versus the number on the bottom. So if you go to other world meters or other places, you'll see these charts that seem to show everybody with a dramatic increase, exponential increase. But you dig into the data, that's not happening. If you look here at the chart we have, you'll see this death rate is declining in all kinds of countries. In fact, what happens is the death rate starts out as soon as the virus hits a region, it starts expanding. It doubles every 3 days at a minimum in the first 3 weeks to 4 weeks. Because like past viruses, this is one of the things people don't know. Great article by Peter Hitchens, brother of Christopher Hitchens, in today's Daily Mail, pointing out that the last six major pandemics, the same people they were relying upon in the UK and elsewhere, falsely exaggerated by a large number the amount of deaths that were going to occur. They got it wrong in 1997, again in 1999.
And then, though, when it doesn't happen, they're the saviors for locking everything down. And now every new virus will be like a weather report or a hurricane. We'll have to lock down all the time. We'll have to take forced inoculations. We'll have to turn our guns in. We'll have to have digital tattoos under the skin. I mean, this is the wet dream of Bill Gates and these people.
Exactly. What they figured out is that I think there's always been a belief by statists that a virus would be far more successful and effective at controlling the domestic population than any other threat could be, than crime could be, than terrorism could be, than anything else could be, than economic collapse can be. The most effective means is a virus, something you can't see, can't know, can't witness, and say at any moment could kill everybody around you. And that's, I mean, they were spreading stories. There hasn't been a virus that has reached 50% of the population in more than a century. So the idea that this virus was going to hit over half of America, was going to and maintain the same mortality rate as it did amongst the earliest confirmed test rate people, never made sense. We've already seen, I was arguing with people 2 weeks ago, that as we tested more people, the United States death rate would decline, not stay static. And all of these experts were telling me, no, Bob, you don't know biology. You don't know science. You don't need to know biology to know how stats work or to know how history works.
By and the when way, you the study deep that state wants 18 months shut down when China's already back to business. I mean, this is so obviously a deep state move to nationalize the economy or bankerize, fascize the economy where these big mega banks take full control.
You know who else who could seize power here? Remember in the United States, the way we are able to seize economic dominance was that we used World War I to seize supply chain control over a wide range of products and manufactured goods, and we replaced Europe and Asia in that role, and we were able to stay dominant for almost 20
years. That's right, and now special megacorporations during a total lockdown will be the only ones allowed to continue to operate.
And not only that, where are they going to be operating from? They're going to be operating from China. So China's not shutting down its factories. China's right now ramping up its production capabilities.
Stop. Your Skype's breaking up. Your Skype's breaking up. Stop for a moment because this is we're ending the show right now. And I want you to repeat that because that's confirmed. China hypes it, lets people videotape the freakouts on purpose to create as much fear with a real virus, but maximizes it, gets us all scared, works with the deep state and the media to then attack Trump when they praise Xi Jinping. We are told we're shut down for a year and a half, total depression, our lives are over. China's right back to normal. You can see exactly China and the globalists trying to win the trade war they just lost. Repeat that.
Exactly. So during World War II, the opportunity presented to the United States was to replace all of Western Europe and Asia in the supply chain for key manufactured products and goods. We were and in fact, it led to us dominating large parts of that supply chain for the better part of a quarter century. China right now is ramping up its productive capability while we in the West are shutting down our productive capability. Well, large parts of the world are still going to need those products and goods. And the only way in which to be able to get those products and goods increasingly during this shutdown will be from China. So by the even if we restart our engines a couple of months from now, it may be the case that China has already replaced us and has a de facto monopoly on large parts of supplied goods like they've achieved in other areas over the past two decades. And all of a sudden, China is like U.S. after World War II in a completely economic dominant position.
And the globalists that are backing China, the big banks, get to restrict cash, promote their surveillance grid, bring in the Chinese social score worldwide. Xi Jinping's the hero. America's bad. And we lose the trade war and it becomes a Chinese century no matter what we try to do. Barnes, you're popping back in with us tomorrow on the weekday show. Great job. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Alex.
Folks, as listeners and viewers, we're in an information war. America's fighting for its life. We can win, but you've got to take the live feed links at band.video, newswars.com/show, infowars.com/show. And you've got to send them out on your Twitter, your Facebook. You've got to send them out on private text message, email, word of mouth. Tell folks about the local radio stations. Really plug those hard. It's a war. People want the truth right now. They're ready to understand what's happening. But you have to be the Paul Revere's. If you don't do it, I'm getting chills. Nobody will. And again, the media won't tell you. The globals won't tell you about zinc. They won't tell you because they don't want you to know. They want this to be as bad as it can, like Bill Maher said, to teach you dirty Americans to bow to the globalists and lick their boots. But you're going to get the word out, and we're going to defeat their ass.